All right, lunch rush time. Take a look at the top stories trending nationally in the sports world. Just got this one in moments ago. The Attorney General for the District of Columbia says his office is filing a civil consumer protection lawsuit against the Washington Commanders, owner Dan Snyder, the NFL, and Commissioner Roger Goodell. How about that? Attorney General Carl Racine announced the civil complaint for colluding to deceive district residents at a news conference on Thursday. Racine said the team and league violated D.C. consumer rights based on what they knew about the organization's workplace misconduct, alleging Snyder lied about his knowledge of the situation. So what is this? If you're trying to make sense of this here, basically they're saying that they acted like they didn't know what was going on?
Yes, it's implying that Dan Snyder, while saying he would be fully cooperative with the investigation, is lying about something or covering something up, and this situation continues to just get worse for the Commanders.
Wow. Four posters flanked, according to ESPN, Carl Racine, I think, am I saying that right? Carl Racine, during his announcement outlining some of the history of the team's rebranding efforts that included references to D.C. and its flag and the history of the NFL's investigation into the organization's workplace culture. Here's a quote. One of the posters read, no, this is what one of the posters read. Dan Snyder assured fans that he would fully cooperate with the investigation and the result could be trusted. That was a lie. According to this poster, he repeatedly attempted to interfere, and the fans could not trust results that were never made public because Snyder had a veto. What is happening here? It was what, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago? Snyder said if he goes down, he's taking the NFL down with him, essentially. We shall see.
Sounds like Snyder is just going down.
And Snyder's going down, but this is also about the NFL and Roger Goodell. I told you, man. All those emails and that they researched and investigated, they just pulled out Gruden's. You mean to tell me, out of all of that, just Gruden? He was supposed to be the scapegoat.
And it was nothing related to the Commanders itself.
No. It was obviously just racist remarks from Gruden that had nothing to do with this. And you mean to tell me that's what you found after everything we've heard about this organization? Yikes. Baseball news. Justin Verlander is, you know what, he's turning down the player option. He's becoming a free agent. The MLBPA announced that Justin Verlander is ready to be a free agent. He opted out of the last year of his deal with the Astros, which was due to pay him $25 million in 2023. Rockies?
Justin and Judge sounds pretty nice.
Oh my goodness. Wouldn't that be amazing? Like, what's the percentage chance that the Rockies A would actually try to make? I mean, he's 39 years old. What do you think? Like 1%?
Probably 1%. Justin seems like a guy that wants to go to a team that's probably going to win.
Yeah, he wants to go win another one.
You want to rest him up because he's, you know, old.
Yep.
So. Yeah, it's nice to dream.
Would you want him at 39?
No.
No.
He's young talent here in Colorado.
So the fact that you said you don't want him makes me think the Rockies might go after him. Because that's what
they
do.
In that case, I don't want Judge anywhere near this team at all.
Yeah, no, he would be terrible for this organization. Awful. Nike and there is ending their relationship with Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving, likely done for good. Now, the co-founder, Phil Knight, said in an interview that aired this morning, said, I would doubt that we go back and work together, but I don't know for sure. Nike announced, of course, last Friday that they suspended their relationship with Kyrie, canceled his plans to release his next signature shoe. Wow. There's some big fallout happening here. He's been suspended. Is he coming? I mean, how many games has he missed so far? 2 to 3? They suspended him for 5 games. Oh, he's missed 4. So, do you think that they will extend that?
I don't know. This situation is just so weird, and you know, you saw the 6 things that he has to do to get back on the or to get back with the team, and I guess he had a meeting with the owner or the coach, and tried to work something out there, so he's kind of still suspended, but kind of not suspended. He wasn't on the injury report or anything. So it's just weird. Brooklyn is just a mess.
It's a mess. You're absolutely right. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm asking Rams fans to step up here, because Wyoming Cowboy fans, we have listeners up there apparently. Or maybe they live here and they're listening. I don't know. But apparently we have a lot of Cowboys fans.
And they're coming hot and heavy with jokes today.
This one from the 970. What do you get when you breed a groundhog and a CSU ram? 6 more weeks of bad football. Mic drop. Let's read another one here. Here's a CSU one. Oh, I can't read that one. It's got a Brokeback Mountain reference. I can't read it, Angel. Come on. You know, noob, I can't read that one. Eastside Chris. Brady, Wyoming had to cancel the polo team program. All the horses drowned. Brady, how do you know if a Wyoming couple is married? Both sides of the pickup have tobacco stains? Then we got that one. We got one like that yesterday. Both cup holders have spit cups in them or something like that. That's what we saw. So, all right. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm going to need Rams fans to step up here. I'm actually kind of surprised. Maybe Rams fans don't talk trash? Do you think that's the deal? I'm not sure. But
if you don't feel worthy of talking trash, I can get that. But it's rivalry week.
It's rivalry week.
It's the bronze boot.
The bronze boot is up for grabs. And this could salvage the entire season for CSU. Seriously. Because Wyoming's good. You beat Wyoming. Not only did you beat a good football team, but you beat your bitter rivalry. I'm just trying to find. Some of these tweets are just, I can't read them. I can't read them, man. There's just some of them are too extreme. So text us. I'll see what I can do. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Do you have a favorite in this game? Do you think Wyoming just wins this one?
I don't really have a favorite yet. I'll probably give out my pick tomorrow. I'm leaning towards Wyoming right now. It's probably based on just recency bias because I was up there a couple months ago.
Yeah, it's true. You went
and watched
them play the Bears.
I haven't been out to a CSU game yet. But I'm just looking at the two running backs in this game with Morrow and Titus Swinn.
Mm.
This could be, you know, just a back and forth running the ball type of game. And if a quarterback can make one or two big throws, you could win this.
The Wyoming Cowboys are coming in at 8.5-point favorites on the road or in CSU. It's not that big of a road game. But would you say the other day that they're encouraging Cowboys fans to wear
gold. So
gold.
The Wyoming fans are looking to gold out canvas.
Gold out.
CSU responding with a white out of canvas. So do something there.
How do you feel? I want to get your take on this. How do you feel about this rivalry? Because you're Alabama. You know about deep, hated rivalries. How does this rivalry make you feel? Is it laughable?
No, it's not laughable. It's definitely respectable. Just given the jokes we've gotten this week, I like the back and forth with these two teams. It's a little different because Alabama's rival is in-state. CSU obviously doesn't play their in-state rival for some reason. But having a team that's geologically close to you, you're going after the same kind of recruits, you're going after the same kind of areas. I like it. The bad blood between the two. Bring it on.
They do play one of their in-state rivals in Air Force, but yeah, I think CU would be the... Because I've asked that question before, which rivalry do you care about the most? And if you're being honest, most Rams fans would say CU, but a lot of them aren't honest. They don't want to admit that a Pac-12 team, like, that's anything to them, so they say Wyoming.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. They don't want to admit that it's
what
a rivalry.
If you beat that Pac-12 team?
Then I think they admit that they love it.
Interesting.
Buffs fans won't admit that it's a rivalry, will they?
Well, of course, because you're punching down.
I can't read some of these guys. Wow. What do a Wyoming and CSU student both have in common? They both got accepted to CSU?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Can't read that one, noob. Noob, this is a family program. I can't read it, right? You tell me. Can I read that last one?
I'm just trying to figure out what he means by that.
I really don't know. Noob is known for throwing us off and just texting in. Eastside Chris and Noob will text in. Great texts, but once in a while, they'll throw something that we have to sit and think about for a moment. It's good so far. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I can read that one, Noob. Go Rams. I can read that one. That's just good old clean fashion fun right there. But I want more here. I want you guys to get after it. It is Border War Week. The Rams won it in 2020. But outside of that, it's been this bronze boot has stayed with the Wyoming Cowboys. And I don't know, I'm sure Rams fans certainly count 2020. But if there were a year to not count, that would be the one. And that was the year Steve Adazio got it. Can they do it? I don't know why, but I just feel like maybe CSU's turned a little bit of a corner offensively. They have a good defense. Can you slow down Titus Swain? That's going to be the big question. But this defense has been, for the most part, pretty good. You started to see that offense move up and down the field last week. They couldn't score. Red zone issues were killing them. But they're moving the ball. You know, from week one, Clay would snap it. Defensive line was in his lap before he'd get the ball in his hands. That's how bad the offensive line was. Now he has time to throw. He's been, you know, he's been good. He's been all right, I guess. But I thought he looked much better last week. They just couldn't convert. So we'll see. This should be a fun one. I'm going to be at that game. I'll be in the press box, though. No partying for me, unless they let us do that. 17 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. We will have Kevin Lytle on the program in a moment to talk to us about all things Colorado State. Can I read that one? Do you know how to get into the University of Wyoming? Help. Can I read that one, Angel? You tell me. We'll talk about it. Let's have a conference about it. What?
Again, I don't know what he means by that.
I don't know what you mean, noob.
Can you paint us a picture or something?
Maybe we don't want that.
We are visual learners.
That could be scary. All right, let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKX.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Future headlines.
So, here's what's going to happen.
Here's your headline. Some companies still know how business is done.
You take the pictures, I'll make up the headlines, okay? All right? Is that okay with you?
All right, Brady. You ready for some more future headlines?
I am very ready. Very much interested to see how this goes.
Had a decent showing after last night's headlines. Nuggets kind of had a slow start. Win.
Yeah.
That kind of found out who the bread is. Obviously, AG.
You're going with AG. I still think he's the peanut butter.
Well, Jokic is the peanut butter.
I still think he's the bread. But you know what? That's a debate. I may never.
It may go on all season long.
Yeah, we may never really know
who all the sandwich types of breads and sandwiches.
Who the real piece of the sandwich is for the Nuggets. So,
but yeah. We're going back to football today. Thursday night football, Amazon Prime. Panthers and Falcons. These two teams had a very interesting back and forth game a couple of weeks ago. That ended up going into overtime. Panthers receiver takes his helmet off after celebrating, pushes the field goal back, and they miss.
Crazy.
The winner.
Yes.
So, the rematch here in Carolina. Panthers fall into pits of sadness.
That Pitts goes off tonight?
I think so.
Sure, why not? I'll go there with you. Where are they going? PJ Walker for the Panthers? Not going with Baker?
Speaking of PJ, Walker gets baked as Mayfield takes job back.
I could see that happening too. Baker had a good game,
he did.
Didn't he, when he was in on Sunday? So, yeah, I could see that happening.
Okay, and sure. This is not your prediction, but this is mine. Falcons win after big play from the other Drake. Drake London, rookie wide receiver.
So that's where you're going. I can't answer that one yet because we do have the Thursday night special coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's on life support, by the way. I can't figure it out. I can't figure these things out, man. I had the Eagles to cover, not to win, but to cover, and couldn't do it. So Thursday night special's in a bad spot. It's in a really bad, dark, dark place.
Do you want a headline for the Thursday night special tomorrow?
Yes.
Brady strikes back on Thursday night.
So you think I get it right? Maybe I get it right. I hope. I hope so. We got to get going on this. Somehow, some way, I got to fix my Thursday night issues. I'm like Kirk Cousins. You know, I'm performing all right with my other picks. I'm about at 500.
It's just Thursdays don't work out for me.
Thursdays are tough for me. It's a big deal. But at some point, we got to get it right.
Is it because you have one day less to think about this pick?
Yes. I don't have the preparation that I normally have. On Fridays, I have the full work week to make my picks and talk about these games coming up. And this is, bam, it's right there, staring at you in the face. I got 4 days, 3 days, really, because today's the game day. So I have 3 days of prep that
really,
I can
too,
really get
it's
in.
It's just Tuesday, Wednesday, because Monday we have other stuff.
That's very true. Monday, Monday's
basketball
a film
or Monday
day.
Monday night or...
Monday's a film day. It's not a practice day. Today's the real deal. And that's tough for me. But we'll figure it out.
Does Amazon get it right tonight?
Yeah.
You get a better broadcast today.
Yeah, because it's been rough. I haven't
nothing really to take away from it other than it's on.
It's on, and it's... I mean, are you watching this tonight? Are you going to continue watching Game of Thrones?
I will watch the start of this game. If it's not good, I will continue Game of Thrones.
You're going back through Game of Thrones. That's good. I might do that.
Yeah, after the House of the Dragon show earlier, kind of want to see if it changed my perspective on the show, and it kind of has so far. Look at it in a different light.
Because you have more information.
More information. There's more story to some characters, some histories that you didn't know. We'll see how I feel about the ending when I get to it.
And when you get... You're just in the first season still?
Second season.
Oh, okay. You've been putting in work, man. You've been busting through that.
Well, it's a show that, like, I don't want to sit and just binge it, but it's so easy to, like, finish an episode, and then you're like, oh, man, I got to see what happens. I know what happens next, but I want to watch what happens next.
Yeah. Do you have a tough time watching, though, knowing that certain characters go away and all, like, knowing that that's coming up? Like, is that tough for you? Because it's tough for me.
No. I mean, I've seen the show a number of times. I know all the deaths and twists and stuff, but it's fun just to see how the story evolves and watching it all back to back, and you see how it flows together better. It's enjoyable.
Well, that might be what I do.
The new Star Wars show is very good, if you haven't
seen
it.
What is that one called?
Andor.
Hmm.
The last three episodes have been some of the best TV I've seen.
Is it better than Mandalorian? Mandalorian
was good.
It's
definitely different, and it's written very, very well. The acting is very, very good. Check it out.
Dixon, just FYI for the headlines and Mr. Thursday night, the weather is supposed to be brutal in Carolina tonight. Downpour all night. Is that the great equalizer? I mean, Carolina's tanking, though. I know they beat Tampa Bay, right?
Yep.
I feel like they are tanking. They just didn't expect Tampa Bay to be terrible when they played them. They're like, really? This is supposed to be a short loss here.
Oh, and then they had two players that they turned down a combined three first-round picks for.
Yeah.
So are you tanking
Maybe
or
not.
Are you not tanking?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Dixon says, is that Tanner playing the harp in the background? Yes, it's Tanner.
He wishes he could play that well.
Dang, that would be some talent there. Tanner doesn't strike me as a harp kind of guy. Do you think he even knows what a harp is? What are the odds?
Oh, out of 10?
20%, yeah.
Maybe 30%?
30% chance that he knows what a harp is? I wonder. I know he's listening right now, so he can...
Is he?
I don't know.
He's on the farm.
He's out there. He's in the hallway.
Oh, he's right behind me.
He's right. Is he looking at you? Is it creepy?
A little bit.
Yeah, it's the mustache. But there's not Tanner playing the harp in the background. I'm getting more texts here. Noob, at least the CSU colors don't look like what comes out of a newborn after eating prunes. That is vivid.
I mean, green can also be a color in that.
That's true. Green could be bad too, noob. How come there are so many unsolved crimes in Wyoming? There are very few dental records, and almost everyone has the same DNA. Was that good?
That was good.
Oh,
getting
man.
A little bit more CSU jabs back at Wyoming.
Yeah. Keep them coming. First Advantage text line, 888-530.
Ryan Tanner's here.
0043. There he is. That's not a harp. There you go. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It is Border War Week. We're getting some pretty good trash talk here. I gotta say, though, it's primarily Cowboys fans. I'm a little shocked by this. I thought Rams fans would step up their game a little bit. So we'll see. I got an hour and a half left. We'll find out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, joining me now on our First Advantage hotline. Kevin, a busy week. Of course, this is always a busy week with the border war. I tell you what, it doesn't matter how the season goes for Colorado State. You find a way to win this one, and I think fans are going to be through the moon.
Yeah, it's always the, you know, almost an equalizer in some ways for a season that if, you know, if CSU wins this one, it certainly pacifies at minimum, you know, a lot of the fan base in a frustrating season. So, yeah, no doubt a win here could be a big win for CSU. And they've, you know, the players and team have certainly highlighted it as, you know, a potential opportunity of, you know, kind of a turning point win. You know, Sonny Lubick came and spoke to the team and talked about his first season at CSU. You know, they were pretty bad. It was a rebuild. At the end of the year, they beat Wyoming, and then the next season, you know, Cy Lubick and the Rams were ranked and had a really good season. So I think there are a lot of parallels that this year's team is kind of looking at, saying, hey, maybe we can do that.
Well, and Kevin, it does kind of feel like, and I know the Rams didn't win last week, but it's starting to feel like the offense is turning a corner, that maybe if you were to pick CSU to win this thing this weekend, it might be a good, I don't know, I'm not sure just yet, but it does feel like if there's fully turning of the corner, could it happen this weekend against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, Jay Norvell keeps kind of insisting that he thinks there will be a breakout offensively, and like you say, it was almost there last week. You know, like I wrote in my game story, it was kind of a rough draft of a college paper. You know, all the meat was there, they just needed some refining. You know, they moved the ball really well. You know, CSU had finished in the red zone, they would have won that game. So, you know, it was, you know, on the cusp of being a big breakout game. And so I'm intrigued to see if they can, you know, carry that, continue it, or, you know, will there almost be a setback of, you know, we're so close, now, you know, we can't make a bowl, all that's out, and, you know, kind of take a step backwards. So it's going to be really intriguing to see how this team performs this week.
Kevin, I haven't had a lot of those, like, head-scratching moments about Jay Norvell yet because, you know, they haven't been in a lot of close games, and you still kind of just – I think I've just set my expectations to the side and say, hey, it's a rebuilding year. We'll maybe see four air raid and all that stuff next year. But the decision when they're down, what, two scores, they go for it on fourth and goal rather than kick a field goal. What were your thoughts there? There was like 7 or 8 minutes left, and then they end up getting a stop, getting a score. So it was interesting. What did you make of Jay Norvell and Colorado State deciding not to kick a field goal, instead go for it on fourth goal, didn't get it?
I was fine with it. I think you needed a touchdown there. Obviously, the way things then played out, then, yeah, it was, you know, that could have been good. It could have been useful to have the field goal there. You know, easy to play the hindsight game. You know, Jay Norvell thought, you know, I asked him about that. He said, you know, we thought we needed the touchdown. We thought worst case scenario, we pin them in, get a quick stop, and then go score right away after that, and we're back in the game, which didn't exactly happen that way, but kind of close. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's one you could probably argue either way. I was okay with it, especially looking really big picture beyond just the game. I you know, they need to start finishing those type of situations. I think they're trying to take advantage of another opportunity for it. But yeah, I mean, certainly in hindsight, you know, you can easily argue that field goal is a better play. And, you know, the bigger, I guess, answer is finish on first, second, or third down when you're at the, you know, the 1 yard line, and you don't really have to have that conversation. That's really where this team needs to get a lot better.
Yeah, red zone issues were certainly a big deal. I guess I was still like looking at it though, glass half full almost, because it's just nice to see CSU move the ball. And now you got to work on the red zone issues. But, you know, compared to the beginning of the season, Millen snaps the ball, the defense is already there. So to me, it was nice to see this offense actually start to roll and move up and down the field. Now they got to fix those red zone issues.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, you know, I tweeted this and kind of wrote about it in the story of, you know, it depends a little bit on your perspective and how either positive or negative you want to be. You know, the good is it's a game most people expected CSU to get blown out in. You know, they're 24.5-point dogs. You know, they've just gotten trucked by Boise. I think most everyone thought they'd lose handily. And like you said, they moved the ball really well. We're right there to win it. You know, so that's a positive. You know, if we had told most CSU fans, that's going to be a one-score game late in the fourth quarter, they would have been thrilled. But on the flip side, it was winnable. There are a lot of weird penalties and, you know, most glaringly, the red zone issues, and that's very, very frustrating. I think it's fair to kind of, you know, take both sides of that and be kind of, you know, happy and optimistic about some of the good signs, but really frustrated at, you know, some of those, you know, particularly red zone issues. So, yeah, it's kind of a weird mixed bag from that game. But overall, If CSU's putting up 500 yards or nearly 500 yards of offense against, you know, top teams in the Mountain West, you know, long term they're going to end up in a good place.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and a big opportunity, as we said, this weekend for CSU. How, you know, Wyoming's looking at this game as a must win. I mean, they're 4-1 in the conference, right behind Boise State at 5-0 with a couple of games remaining. If you're the Cowboys, you can't afford to slip up if you want to end up in that Mountain West conference championship game.
Yeah, exactly. It is a huge one. You know, they have Boise coming up, you know, almost right away, and you know, that's another kind of parallel that Sonny Lubick drew when he spoke to the team of that Wyoming team that he beat his first year was going for a WAC championship, and CSU ruined their season. So it was, you know, ruin Wyoming season and springboard, you know, your future. That's a pretty good combo for CSU, and that's what they're hoping to do this week. Because, again, if CSU beats Wyoming, Wyoming's pretty much out of it, because even if they beat Boise, they'd still be a game back and need Boise to lose again. Which, you know, it's getting a little late in the game for that to happen. So this is, you know, pretty much every game is must-win for Wyoming to make that championship.
Yeah, and that, how big is that? You know, CSU fans want this one anytime, anywhere. They want to win this game, get that boot back. But if you can do it while shattering the Cowboys' chances of making it a great season, I mean, boy, that's the cherry on top.
Yeah, that's a little double whammy that fans would really love.
Talk to us about this basketball team, Kevin. It came down to the wire on Monday. Heck of a game. I think the Rams were down big at one time. They get up big late in the game, end up needing a buzzer beater by Isaiah Rivera to win this thing. How we feeling about Colorado State's basketball team at this point?
Yeah, it was a pretty entertaining game, and yeah, a weird one. I see CSU down 13 in the first half, comes back, you know, a pretty incredible first 15 minutes, you know, 3 to go. CSU's up by 11, and, you know, it looks like done and dusted, great comeback, and then Gardner Webb starts hitting some threes in the final minute. CSU missed 2 free throws, and then, you know, a frankly atrocious foul call puts Gardner Webb on the line to tie it up. They do, and you're thinking, oh boy, if this goes overtime, CSU's probably in some trouble just because of the swing there. But Isaiah Rivera, you know, it's kind of one of those questions, you know, no David Rye, no Isaiah Stevens. What the heck are you going to do if you have, you know, a game on the line chance? Isaiah Rivera steps up, hits a huge shot, and wins it. So, you know, overall, I think you have to be happy. Yeah, it wasn't the prettiest overall, but as we've talked about, this team just so much transitioning going on right now. It's not going to be, you know, smooth and pretty at every time, but you saw plenty of good, and I think just the confidence you can get from winning a game like that, you know, without some of your stars. I think that's really good for CSU. So, it's not going to be the prettiest metric win as far as your resume, but that doesn't really matter right now. Just finding a way to win that one in the fashion that happened, I think, is a great sign of the kind of the mental fortitude of this team.
Well, and you, I think you noted it too on Monday about Gardner-Webb, that that's a team that can go into pretty solid teams' arenas and pull off some upsets. They've done it for a while now. So, again, it's not like it was this terrible team that doesn't know how to win basketball games. It's a team that prides itself on pulling off some nice upsets.
Yeah, and Gardner-Webb, I think they were maybe top 30 or so defensively last year. They're a good defensive team. And, again, for a team playing without their point guard, that's going to be tough to deal with. And, you know, Gardner-Webb threw some unexpected stuff. They threw some 2-3 zone at CSU, which CSU basically never sees. And they did some things to disrupt the Rams. And again, CSU just kind of found a way to battle back and find a way. Again, it's not the prettiest, but you know, if you're looking for style points with this team early in the year, you're looking at the wrong thing. You need to be, you know, finding ways to win and signs of growth. And we kind of saw all of that within one game.
Got a new member of this basketball team, Kevin. Talk to us. Rashawn Bemba, is that correct? I am getting a lot of people texting and messaging about this guy saying, man, look at his game. He reminds me a lot of David Roddy. Wanted to get your thoughts on this guy. Oh, did we lose him? Kevin, you still there?
Oh, I'm back.
Hey, I
lost you for a minute.
I was just asking you about the new Ram, Rashawn Bemba, I think. Getting a lot of texts saying, hey, this guy kind of reminds me of David Roddy.
Yeah, I kind of wrote about that today. I said, I don't want to put the David Roddy label on the kid because that's, you know, that's quite a standard to live up to. But style-wise, he has some of those vibes. He's a really big guy, you know, 6'7", 250-ish, I think it is. Really nimble, can play inside and outside. His highlights are pretty fun. He certainly has some Roddy-like vibes. Again, I'm not saying he's going to come and in 3 years be a first-round NBA pick because that's a pretty high standard, but he looks like a really exciting prospect. And yeah, another two good signings with him and Kyan Evans. They'll have a Kyle Evans and a Kyan Evans next year, so that's going to be really fun. But yeah, it looks like another, I mean, this staff kind of just shows that they're good at, you know, finding guys that have, you know, high ceilings, but also kind of under the radar a little bit. They find these guys that you're kind of looking at them and saying, you know, why on earth aren't more people recruiting them? And, you know, that's what Isaiah Stevens was. He was in the heart of Texas dominating, and for whatever reason, his recruiting just wasn't that good. And, you know, look at what that kid's done. So, I generally trust this staff on the kids they're recruiting.
Yeah, no doubt. They've earned that, right? Kevin, I'm looking forward to Rams Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock today on KFKA. I want to obviously get more into the border war with you, but I love because you have a lot of history on the Bronze Boot, so I want to break into that a little bit with you as well, so I'm looking forward to that show.
Yeah, it should be fun. We have plenty to talk about right now.
It's the busy time with the crossover, with football still rolling and basketball going. It's madness, maybe even Moby madness. There you go. Kevin, appreciate you. Love all you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you here in the studio in a couple of hours.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Rashawn Bemba, 6'7", 250 pounds. I'm watching his highlights right now. There's some Roddy there. A little Roddy-esque. He moves a lot like him. He plays a lot like him. I had some messages this morning that said, Brady, you got to look into this guy. This guy could be the next big thing for Colorado State. Well, maybe so. 48 minutes after the hour. Keep the trash talk coming. I can't read a lot of these. Can't read that one either. But I do love it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Short break coming up. We have the Thursday night special right around the corner. I want to get into the Broncos Titans a little bit more. Russell Wilson, is this a big rivalry that's building up now? Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. Carroll just can't help himself. We'll talk about that more coming up next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to a great sponsor that keeps this show running. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll keep your heater running as well. Give them a call, 970-567-0798. We're getting into those cold days, certainly cold nights. Check them out. If that heater's not running up to snuff, you got to call my friends over at Lemons Heating and Cooling. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Shoot us a text. Get a little trash talk in about the border war coming up this weekend. The bronze boot is an interesting one. When CSU got it back in 2020, apparently they had to, like, get it all rebronzed and everything. And there's some company in California. Kevin will know more about this on Rams Weekly. Like, one of the only companies that does bronzing still. And he had to, like, repair the entire boot because they start chipping away and you're seeing it just, it was after all the years of decay and probably beer in the boot. Yeah. Actually, it's a great story. So it was the main component of this thing. I pulled it up because I thought we'd go into it. In 1968, the ROTC detachments of the respective schools initiated the bronze boot. The boot was worn in the Vietnam War by Captain Dan J. Romero. And he was an Adams State College graduate, an Army ROTC instructor at CSU between 67 and 69. So it actually has a lot of really great history to it.
That's really cool that it's an actual thing that you just bronzed and now it's a trophy.
Yeah, they bronzed it. I love it. It's a great story. And it's become one of the big, you know, the big one of the more cool trophies there is, honestly, because of the history.
You love to see it after, you know, a rivalry game, a team wins and they pass out the trophy. All the players hold it up. It's awesome.
There's a lot of history there. The fact that the trophy's guarded by the ROTC unit of the past year's winning school during the game, they're all surrounding it. I love it. There's just a lot of history. It's very cool. Although in recent history, this rivalry has kind of went to Wyoming for the most part. You know, it was McIlwain, I think. Did he get one? What year was McIlwain there? I can't remember. But Bobo struggled to win these games. Like, he could not be. I think he had a couple of rivalry wins his first year. But outside of that, couldn't do it, you know, and then, of course, faded each and every year, got a little bit worse for Mike Bobo, and he's gone. But the Rams gave it up in 2016, didn't win it again until 2020. Wyoming got it last year, and we'll see. It could be a really interesting game. Oh, cool. Thanks, Smitty. He just tagged me at the video of Joe Parker talking about the bronze boot being restored, and then the whole process. So I'm going to check that out during the break. I watched it last year. I just kind of forgot about it. But, that, I mean, you see it, like, the bottom of the shoe, the boot was just decrepit and torn apart. So had to get the bronzing away and then repair the boot first and then rebronze it. It looks fantastic now. Probably something they need to do a little more often because it was in rough shape. All right, second hour coming up. Let's get into it. I want more border war trash talk. Wyoming's got a good football team. CSU could play spoilers, though, and maybe ruin their chance to get into the Mountain West Conference championship game. That would be cool. Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, let's talk about it. That situation continuing to blow up about the wristband. We're all watching it. And then the Thursday night special, of course. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy.